Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
A couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, we finished up a series on Teach Us to Pray. We taught out of Luke 11. And we saw that Jesus wasn't just teaching his disciples how to pray. He was actually showing that prayer is ultimately about knowing the Father, not just making requests. It's about knowing the Father. And then he ended with this beautiful twist in Luke 11:13, not by giving us a list, you know, if you do the next 5 points, then this will equate to this. No, he didn't do that. He said in Luke 11:13, the Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. We unpacked that. Go and listen to the podcast if you want to know more about that. But that line left me thinking. I actually walked off the platform and I actually started thinking about that line. I'm thinking, wow, where do we go? I actually even said to Pastor Russ, I think we need to start talking about the Holy Spirit in the next series. But I came to this thing that prayer is actually the pathway into deeper communion with the Father through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit plays a significant role. We saw that in Luke 11:13. Holy Spirit plays a significant role. And I honestly think that one of the greatest misunderstandings in the church today is that many believers appreciate the Holy Spirit. They are aware of the Holy Spirit. They appreciate of the Holy Spirit. But they don't actually know the Holy Spirit because they do life apart from Him. They do life separate from Him. You know when you go to a party? Yes? We all go to parties, correct? All of us. You go to a party and someone is there, but you choose to ignore them as if they weren't there. They're there, but you choose as if they were not there. Well, that's the same with the Holy Spirit. He is here, but he's not there. He's with you, but he's not with you. We choose to do life apart from him. We choose to ignore him. We choose to reduce him to certain moments and experiences, often pursuing the power or his power while overlooking or disregarding his presence. But we, the church, needs to awaken. As I showed you with the statistics there, we need to wake up and realize the greatest gift that God gives isn't his power, it's his presence. It's his presence. I mean, Acts 1:8 is a great example of this. In Acts 1:8, it says, you will receive, Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The Holy Spirit comes first. The presence comes first and then the power. It's not the power and then the Holy Spirit is addition. The Holy Spirit comes first and then the power comes. So the greatest gift is presence. Greatest gift that God has given us is doing life with us, doing life with every believer. What does it look like to do life together? Well, in the natural, so in the supernatural. We say that often. In the natural, doing life with someone means that they're a constant companion. That means you walk together, you talk together, you call them, you celebrate with them, you tell them about the good things, you cry on their shoulders, you have dinner with them, you go on holiday with them, you do camping with them, etc., 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 etc. So what does it mean doing life with the Holy Spirit? The first thing we've got to understand in doing life with the Holy Spirit is we don't leave him in the prayer closet when we finish praying. When our quiet time ends, we don't go, all right, hello Holy Spirit, I'm now going to pray. Pray, pray, pray. Okay, Holy Spirit, I'll see you tomorrow. See you later. And we walk out of there. That's the first thing we don't do. We don't leave him. Doing life with the Holy Spirit is where we carry awareness of his presence. We carry awareness into every part of our day. We speak to him. We ask him. We tell him. We learn to listen when he prompts us. We allow him to shape our attitudes, to shape our words, our decisions. We invite him into our workplace. We invite him into our family, into our finances, into our kids' lives, into our conversations, into our struggles, into our victory. We invite him into life and we do life with him. So today we are starting a new series, as you would have gathered by now, and the title is The Spirit-Led Life. I'd like you and I to see that the Christian life is not about occasionally experiencing the Holy Spirit. The Christian life is about learning to walk with Him every single day. It's about doing life with Him, not without Him. Because living a Spirit-led life was always part of God's plan. Holy Spirit was not a backup plan. Holy Spirit was always part of God's plan. Why do I say that? Well, you just got to listen to what Jesus said in John 16:7. He says to His disciples, "It is to your advantage that I go away." What? Go away? Where are you going? What do you mean you're going away? I mean, do you really believe this, Jesus, that you want to go away and leave it? Can you imagine what the disciples went through? You've got to put yourself in their position. What was going through their minds? I mean, how could anything be better than Jesus standing beside you? Correct? But that's exactly the point. You see, Jesus standing beside them meant that He could only be in one place at one time. His physical ministry was limited to one place at one time. And way back in the day, in Genesis, God plans in Genesis that mankind would be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. I'm not going to preach about that, but that is a good word right there. But for this to happen now, Jesus had to go so that the Father could send. You see, His intention being that we as disciples would live a Spirit-led life. And through that, through leading a Spirit-led life, we would be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. We will. When Adam and Eve stuffed up, that plan of God did not be snuffed out. That's why Jesus came. He reinstated that. Go and make disciples of all nations. Exactly. Genesis, go and make disciples. It's the same thing. I've preached about this before. I'm not going to go there. So today I want us to focus on something at the beginning of the series, and that is this beautiful thing of the gift of His presence. The gift of His presence. So the title is The Gift, Spirit-Led Life, The Gift of His Presence. And my prayer is that this series, these next couple of few weeks, won't simply leave you with a greater head knowledge, a greater understanding of who Holy Spirit is, but it will leave you with a deeper relationship, a deeper longing for you to do life with Him. It's good? You in for it? Right, let's pray. Holy Spirit, welcome. Father, thank you. As you send Holy Spirit, we pray right now for eyes to see the truth, because we know the truth will set us free. Ears to hear the truth, because the truth will set us free. And a heart, a boldness to receive the truth, because we know it will set us free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Got your Bibles this morning? Let's turn to John 14. John 14 is where we will kick off. And why John 14? Because we want to allow Jesus to introduce the Holy Spirit to us, as He did that day. I'm reading from verses 16, so John 14:16-18. I will pray. I'm reading from New King James Version. I will pray the Father, and He will, if you've got a physical Bible, underline that word, will, give you another helper. Underline the words, another helper, that He may abide with you forever. It's a good word. Underline that word, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. Now that's a sermon series right there. But, Jesus continues, you know Him, for He dwells with you, underline the words with you, and will be in you. He's with you and be in you. Then in verse 18 He says, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. The context of John 14 takes place in the upper room. It's on the night before the crucifixion. Jesus is not giving a teaching on theology. He's busy preparing a people, His people, the people He loves, for a moment that they are about to face. John 13, what happened? He washed their feet. And He also told them in John 13 that one of them will betray Him. And He also told them that one of them will deny Him. Then in John 14, Jesus says, the one thing that the disciples never wanted to hear. I am leaving. Can you imagine? By this time, the disciples are pretty rattled, yeah? Their perfect world is on the verge of collapsing. Here they have Jesus going, I'm leaving. They've built their lives around the visible presence of Jesus. They've heard his physical voice. They've watched him heal the sick. They've seen him calm the storms. They've seen him walk on water. They've seen him raise the dead. They followed him all around. When they've been confused, he's been there to answer their questions. When they've been afraid, he's there to reassure them. When there's opposition, he's there physically to sort it all out. What do you mean you're leaving? What are we going to do? What's going to go in now? So I'm reading through this again, and I go back and I read through 13 and I read through 14, and something jumps out at me because he starts chapter 14 with, let not your hearts be troubled. You reckon? Are you serious? You know what's coming after that? And then he repeats those same words in verse 27. And then he adds on there, and don't let fear grip him. Something along those lines. I mean, John 14, 1, the Passion Translation says, don't worry or surrender to your fear. Good synopsis right there. Don't worry or surrender to your fear. So you can imagine that by the time that Jesus gets to, we get to verse 16, they realize that's why he said right in the beginning, let not your hearts be troubled. The atmosphere is heavy. Can you imagine? The atmosphere is uncertain. There's confusion. Their hearts are troubled. Their minds are racing. There are voices going on in their head. But it's into that very atmosphere that Jesus makes one of the most greatest promises of all Scripture. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another. In the chaos, in what's going on in their hearts and in their minds and in their heads and in their lives, right at this point in time, their world is about to implode. He says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another. Someone needs to hear that this morning. In your world, God is saying, I have sent another. I have sent another. I have asked the Father and he has sent another. But I also want you, if you're in that scenario, I want you in that scenario of confusion and turmoil and questions, I want you to lean in today. I really want you to lean in, and I want you to listen. Not listen with these things, listen with this thing. Listen with your heart. Listen and hear and take note of what the Scripture is about to reveal. Because that little word, another, is incredibly significant. It's the Greek word allos. It means another of the same kind. Jesus was not saying, I'm leaving, so God will send you a replacement. Who knows? When we leave, you will get a replacement, but you won't get another JJ. I know some of you are saying, thank God we don't get another JJ. Seriously, another one of them. This is not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, I am leaving, but the Father will send you another like me. The context here makes it clear that Jesus is promising one, capital O, who will continue his own ministry, continue the ministry of Jesus, continue the presence of Jesus with his disciples. Folks, the Holy Spirit is not Jesus' substitute. It's not Jesus' substitute. He is God. Holy Spirit is God. He is the one who makes the presence of the risen Christ continually real in the lives of believers, of every believer. He is the one. He is the one. He is the one that was asked to be sent and was sent. He is the one who makes the presence. I mean, worship, the service, the presence was so tangible. So tangible. Holy Spirit's work. got to acknowledge it. That's the Holy Spirit's work. Now, Jesus introduces to us the another. Okay? In John 14, 16, ESV, it says, give you another helper, capital H, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. That word helper is the Greek word parakletos. Now, depending on your Bible translation, you may have the word helper, you may have the word advocate, you may have the word counselor, you may have the word comforter, you may have the word encourager. No, then people are not confused. The people who translate it are not confused. So why are there different words, JJ? I'm glad you asked. The truth is this. There is not one English word that fully captures what Jesus is saying by the word parakletos. It's not one English word. We, in our English language, we are poor. There's not one word that captures it. But what it does do, it gives us this depiction of one who comes alongside to help, to strengthen, to comfort, to guide, to lead, to teach, to represent, to be with us and to do life with us constantly. Another who? Another helper. The Spirit of truth. Who will be with them forever, who will be with us forever. Grammatically, that Spirit of truth explains who the another helper is. The helper is the Spirit of truth. Please note, Jesus is not simply giving him a title. He's revealing a ministry. Jesus is revealing his ministry. I mean, isn't that beautiful in itself? Jesus is not preparing his disciples for his departure by giving them a strategy. He is preparing them by introducing them to a person. He's a person. He's not a it. He's not a ghost. He's not a... He's a person who is the helper, who is the Spirit of truth, who is with them forever, forever. For many of us, the Spirit has become associated with moments. Powerful. It was such a powerful worship. I said it earlier on. Such a powerful worship service. Oh, and the prophetic, that flowed, and there was signs and wonders and miracles, and there was spiritual encounters, and people were snorting, and people were lying. And this is all amazing. And you know what? We pursue that. We go after that. I've said to you, 1 millisecond of... being in his presence will change your life more than what it will listen to me for 50 years. His presence is our priority. His presence. But we need to be very careful because we appreciate what the Holy Spirit does more than who he is. Jesus doesn't promise his disciples an experience. He promises them a companion. A companion, a person, God himself with us. Verse 16, another helper. Verse 16, to be with you forever. Verse 17, he dwells with you and will be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. Verse 18, I will come to you. This is a repeated theme. What is it? Presence. Presence, not power. Not gifts, not manifestations. The personal presence of God with who? His people, his disciples, his believers, you and I. The Spirit-led life does not begin with a power we use. It begins with a person we receive. The day you put your hand up and you say, I invite Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, guess what? Holy Spirit was there, man. You've received him. You've received presence. That's why I said earlier, the greatest gift God gives isn't his power, it's his presence. His power is the overflow. The manifestations are the overflow. The outworking is the miracles are the overflow of his presence. Without God in this place, there cannot be miracles. Without God in this place, eyes will not open. Cancer will not disappear without God in this place. Tumors will not dissolve without God in this place. It's by his presence that the power overflows and we see the manifestation. Then Jesus comes along and he goes on, you tracking? All good? You still love me back there? Yeah. Okay, I see that smile. That's good. I don't know if that was a smile. Yes, I do. No, I don't. But anyway, I'll take it. Verse 17. You know him. Very extraordinary. You know him. The disciples would have gone, do we? Looking around. Is it him? Is it him? Is it him? Who is it? You know him. He tells him, you know him, for he dwells with you. Stop right there. This is present tense. He dwells with you. Why is it present tense? Because everything Jesus is doing up until this moment was in the power of Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus is man and God. How? We're not even trying to understand it. We believe in what the word says. He is man and he's God. In this moment, he is standing there as Jesus the man. He needs the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit upon him. What happened when he came out of the water? What descended upon him? The dove? The Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. Great, great. So the Holy Spirit, right in that moment, these people is upon Jesus. And these disciples are witnessing the power of the Holy Spirit in the ministry of Jesus. Every miracle Jesus performed, every word of wisdom, every act of compassion, every display of holiness, all of it is empowered by the Holy Spirit that is the presence of God on Jesus. So, the Spirit was already with them. They were seeing it. They were already seeing it. And then he says, and will be in you. So we have future tense. Present tense. Now we have future tense. He will be in you. Future tense. Jesus is talking now beyond the cross. These four words, what are they? They are four words that announce one of the greatest miracles of the new covenant. No longer would God's presence simply come upon people for moments. No longer would his presence be associated with buildings, with tabernacles, with temples. The Holy Spirit was coming to dwell within every believer. And right there, we have this beautiful picture of the gift of his presence. Right there, for he dwells with you and will be in you. That right there, those, you can put that on your mirror. Let that be a reminder. That is the gift of his presence. That is the promise of his presence for every believer, every single believer. No longer would the presence come upon and then leave. No longer would there be in a building. That's like I'm going to say, this is not the church. You are the church. This is the building. The church is gathering in the building. This is a building. He doesn't abide here anymore. He abides in you. He abides in you and he abides in me. That's a beautiful picture. But we need to think about it for a moment. We need to ponder on this a little bit more. Because God, the God, who once filled the Holy of Holies, where only the priest could approach. And if the priest had a little fleck of sin, he would die. And they would pull him out by a rope. God lived on the Holy of Holies. He filled the Holy of Holies. Not lived on. He filled the Holy of Holies. But now, this same God chooses his home in ordinary people like you and me. He chooses. That changes, or should I say, that should change the way we think about God's presence. That right there should change. I mean, we have God Almighty with us, in us. It's not biblical to say, I want more of God. You have all of God. It's not biblical to say, send me more. No. It's not biblical. It's more like, make me aware of. Because you have him. You have him. Folks, you don't have to wait until Sunday morning before he is near. You don't have to wait for your favorite worship song. Oh, the team didn't play my song today. Oh, God wasn't in the place. You laugh. I've heard that. Oh, that song they sang today. Oh, my gosh. They got it out of the archives. Seriously. How could they sing that? Where's God in that? I've heard it. I'm not joking. Pauline and I have heard this. We've witnessed these things. You don't have to wait for a favorite worship song. You don't have to wait until the atmosphere is right. You know, you got the smoky machine happening. No. You don't have to wait for that. Why? Because He is with you. He is constantly with you wherever you go. The Spirit-led life isn't about trying to find God's presence. The Spirit-led life is about becoming aware of and then doing life with. Becoming aware of. You have Him. It's becoming aware of and then choosing to do life with Him. Why? Because He already lives in you. Folks, this gift of His presence is yours forever. Always. Always. He isn't a visitor who comes and goes depending on how spiritual you feel that day. Oh, I'm not feeling spiritual all today. Oh, sorry, Holy Spirit. No. He couldn't care. He's still with you. He is still with you. Our awareness does not create His presence. Our awareness simply awakens us to His presence. What happened here this morning in worship? Our awareness of His presence. He's here. We just got to become aware. And as we become aware, so it awakens more awareness. And so it awakens more awareness. His presence is already here. Back to the disciples. The disciples had a fear. Their greatest fear wasn't simply that Jesus was leaving, although He said, I am leaving. Well, that wasn't the fear. Their fear was they would be left alone. Their greatest fear was they'd have to navigate life without Him. But Jesus, as great as what He is, as loving as what He is, He addresses this fear with another beautiful promise. And He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. We are not orphans. We are sons and daughters that struggle with an orphan mindset. He has not left us as orphans. He has come to us. He's already here. He's already with us. In the first century, an orphan wasn't simply someone whose parents had died. An orphan represented someone who was left alone, who was abandoned, who was unprotected, without anyone to care for them or guide them. That was the definition in the first century of an orphan. And Jesus comes and He addresses that fear and He says, I will not leave you as orphans. In other words, although my physical presence is about to leave you, you will never be without my presence. Let that one sink in. Although I won't be standing there physically with you, the physical part of me is about to leave you. You will never be alone, apart, separated from my presence. Never. The gift of His presence through the Holy Spirit will remain forever and forever and forever. The gift of the Holy Spirit will remain with you. The gift of the Holy Spirit will remain with your children. The gift of the Holy Spirit will remain with your children's children. Me and my house, we will serve the Lord all the days of our life. For centuries and centuries and centuries and generations. The gift of the Holy Spirit will be throughout every single generation. Every single generation. This is where I will never leave you nor forsake you gets a new meaning. Church, family, hear me, brothers, sisters, sons and daughters of the Most High God. Hear me today. That promise is still true today for you. Although you may have moments where you feel alone, although you may have seasons where God seems silent or distant, maybe you have moments where emotionally you just cannot do it today, but I need you to hear this. You are never abandoned. You are never abandoned, never alone, never left to navigate life on your own strength. Never. You're never left alone. Never left alone. The promise then still stands today. You will never be abandoned. I will never be abandoned. This beautiful, this amazing, this life-changing gift of His presence is yours and mine forever. All we need to do is choose to do life with Him. Choose. It's a choice. Choice. The team can join me. That'll be great. As I close today, I want us to ponder on one promise. There's quite a few that I've given you here, but there's one promise I want you to ponder on. I want us to ponder on. And that is the promise, I will not leave you as orphans. We need to hear that today. I will not leave you as orphans. You know what? You may have been living with this quiet sense of a distance, or you believe He's real, and you've been in church for centuries, but He still feels far away. Maybe your life, your Christian walk has been exhausting, and you've been trying to earn something. You've been trying to earn what Jesus has already given. He's already given it. Holy Spirit has already come. He's not come in. He's already come. He's already come. Today, Jesus reminds us, Holy Spirit is not a reward for the spiritually mature. He reminds us that Holy Spirit is the gift of the Father to every believer. He doesn't come because we've earned His presence. He has come because Jesus made a way. So here's a challenge. You know, I always challenge you. Here's my challenge for this week. The challenge is not to strive harder. Please stop striving. Stop striving. The challenge is to become more aware of the One who is already present. Become more aware. I will be with you. I will be in you. He is with you and He is in you. He is with you and He is in you. When it's chaotic, remember He is with you and He is in you. I choose to do life with Him. I choose to walk with Him. I choose to talk with Him. I choose to celebrate. I choose to grumble with Him. Who's Him? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I will be with you and I will be in you. Folks, God is not asking for perfection. JJ, you got no idea. I may not have any idea, but He does. But He still chooses you over your circumstances. For God so loved the world that He sent His Son. He chose you. He still chooses you. He still fights for you. He is asking you to not be perfect, but to be aware of the gift, this beautiful gift of His presence. He's asking you to do life with Him every single day. Not when it's going good or when it's going bad. When it's going good and bad. Every single day. He's asking you to give Him permission. He's a gentleman. He will not force Himself onto you. He will not force anything into your life that you do not want. But He's asking your permission. Permission to lead you. To lead you. To lead you where He wants you to go. He's asking you permission to shape you, to walk with you, to walk every single day, to walk into those meetings that you need to face, to walk into that classroom if you're a teacher, to walk into that hospital, face those patients if you're a doctor, to walk into whatever day is ahead of you. He's asking your permission that He can walk with you, that He can do life with you. Life with you. Only you get to grant Him permission. I can't do that for you. Only you can grant Him permission. So I want us, right there where we are, I want us just to close our eyes. Just close our eyes. And grant him permission. Don't want anybody walking around. Nobody moving. Nobody moving. This is a holy moment. I want you to open your heart. Open your heart to the greatest gift the Father has already promised. How do I open my heart, JJ? By just saying, Holy Spirit, I open my heart. Come, come afresh. Come afresh. Can you say that? Can you say, Holy Spirit, I welcome you into my life? Even if you're struggling to say that, just say it. Because I believe as you say it, something will break. Something will change. Holy Spirit, I welcome you into my life. Just there where you are, maybe you want to say, teach me to know you more. Teach me to walk with you. He is the teacher. He is the guide. Teach me. It's as easy as that, folks. He's present. Talk to him. Do life with him. Maybe you need to pray and say, constantly remind me. Constantly remind me to do life with you. Make me more aware of your presence each day.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmark.church. Thanks for listening.